listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Know what's really going on with your Cleveland Browns? Like the coaching search. Get the latest information directly from the source. Download the official Cleveland Browns mobile app for Apple and Android phones, tablets, and iPads. Stay connected to your Cleveland Browns at any time and everywhere. There's a great article on the app right now with Matt Florjancic and Michael Irvin talking about just how good Josh Gordon can become. I thought that was very interesting. Check that out. That's on the app right now, which you can download anytime, obviously, to your smartphone or tablet. The coaching search for the Browns does roll on. Mike Munchak, the latest name added to the list to help us talk about Mike Munchak and what he would potentially bring to the Browns. Please welcome in Jim Wyatt from the Tennessean. Jim, thanks so much for joining us here today. Mike Munchak didn't have the greatest tenure in Tennessee, now a candidate supposedly for the Browns meeting today, according to various reports. What was your take on Mike Munchak's time in Tennessee, the strengths and weaknesses he brought to the table as a head coach?
Well, I mean, he said himself, and I talked to him the day after he, parted ways from the Titans, that he, he knew it might have been a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, might not ever get another chance again. And, based on his 22 and 26 mark as a head coach, he went 3 seasons, 6-10, 7-9 the last two. Part of me didn't think he would get another chance. So this is interview number two in the NFL, the interview for the Lions last week, now in Cleveland. Is he a good option for a head coach? I think he's certainly a guy who players respect, and certainly he's going to bring a lot of discipline, kind of a no-nonsense approach to a team. But you certainly would have some questions about him because he doesn't have a great track record as a head coach, and because this organization just didn't have the faith in him that he would be able to right the ship, at least with the staff that he had last year, the one he wanted to take into this year. So, it will be interesting to me if somebody gives him another chance, because I personally don't think the Titans thought he would get another chance when he left here.
Jim, talk about those circumstances that led to his ultimately being fired, because it was several days after the end of the season, or at least days, that there were discussions. Then we saw reports that he supposedly did not want to fire certain members of his staff, and that cost him his job, which some people would say is admirable. But is it really kind of that black and white, or were there other parts of this that that led to his dismissal? And what does it say about him? Because others might say, well, if he had done the thing the team wanted him to do, then he's a guy who's still a head coach, and the fact that he did that maybe makes him a better head coaching candidate for character reasons, et cetera.
Yeah, and that is how things played out. I mean, it was, I was very involved leading up to his, to the two sides parting ways, and all along it was very clear that he was going to have to make some changes in order to stay here. The big question was whether or not they were going to give him a chance to do it, and I think a lot of people thought when, the Titans might fire Mike Munchak the Monday after the season. And to be honest with you, I think if they'd lost to the Texans, their opponent in that final game, he would have been fired on Black Monday. But the way things went, they met later in the week. Mike Munchak and general manager Rustin Webster and team owner Tommy Smith, they met later in the week in Houston. And instead of him walking in the office and them saying, we're firing you, thanks for your hard work and your 32 years in the organization, as a lot of people expected would happen, they said, we want to keep you. And they were even willing to give him a contract extension as an incentive to stay around. But it came with the, hey, we want to keep you, but you're going to have to, you're going to have to make some changes on your staff. And Mike Munchak said himself, he would have made changes on his staff. One of the guys they wanted to have him replace is Bruce Matthews, his best friend and a Hall of Famer like Munchak. And I think he would have done that. Another guy that they asked him to replace was Chet Parlavecchio, a linebackers coach who was his roommate at Penn State. I think Mike Munchak would have done that. And I think he would have been willing to part ways with Jerry Gray, whose contract was up, in favor of getting someone else at the helm, on the defensive side. And I think Greg Williams could have been that guy. But where Mike Munchak drew the line was the team wanted him to also swap out his offensive coordinator. And I know that sounds like four coaches there that were on the line. Well, Mike Munchak knows But if he swaps out his offensive coordinator, you know, the new guy's going to probably want a new quarterback's coach, a receiver's coach, and a tight end's coach, and you know, running back's coach. You go down the line, so you're pretty much swapping out your whole philosophy on the offensive side of the ball. And he also knew that that would have a great impact on Jake Locker. So he didn't want to do it. He wasn't going to go for it. I think they were surprised because I think they thought he would have done it because he had done things like that before. Is it admirable? I mean, certainly I think you don't hear about that happening a lot. I know Jeff Fisher, when he was here, had to make some tough changes several times after, you know, seasons, and he would do it even if it involved firing his friends. But Mike Munchak wouldn't do it, and I think it kind of speaks to his loyalty. It speaks to him, you know, and him not kind of doing what other people think need to be done to win. He wants to win his way, and that ultimately is what has led him to being a free agent on the coaching market right now.
What do you think went wrong for Mike Munchak as a head coach that got him to the position where he was confronted with such decisions? What do you think about his style in a second job would maybe need to be tweaked, or was it just simply a matter of things just not getting done on the field the way that they needed to?
Well, as far as leadership and accountability and having a locker room where everybody's pulling on the same rope, I mean, I think all that, you know, was working for Mike Munchak. I mean, this season was a mess here in Tennessee, but the team never really had any problems in the locker room. The players respected them. They fought hard. You know, you see a lot of teams around the league just pretty much mailing it in December, and this team played hard all the way through. So that speaks to the respect the players have for Mike Munchak. You know, on the flip side, you know, they were losing way too many close games. You know, they bring up, well, we were close. You know, we lost six games by one possession. Well, they also won six games by one possession, and they were just, you know, they lost some games. They lost to the Jaguars when they were, you know, winless at that time. You know, they lost to the Texans early in the year before their 13-game losing streak. They blew some other games that they probably should have won, and I think you can certainly question Mike Munchak and his ability, maybe as a play caller. I mean, he wasn't, you know, so you see some coaches around the league that are calling their plays and very involved in that. He kind of leaves that to his coordinators. He was 2 of 8 on challenges this year. He admits himself that he still was learning on the go, you know, on this job, his third season, and because he'd never been more than an offensive coordinator before taking over. So he's not an established head coach. He's not a guy that has a great track record. And he would be, you know, as much as I like him, he'd be a risky hire if you ask me.
Well, that interesting point. Jim Wyatt covers the Titans for the Tennessean, and you just kind of anticipated my next question. You called it a risky hire. I mean, we open this show talking about the philosophy of the teams that obviously now are in the conference championship games and what sort of model do they present for the rest of the league. And what I want to find out from you is what you think after 3 years as a head coach is the vision of a Mike Munchak. What would be the pluses that he could bring to the table? What sort of offense, et cetera, can you see this team utilizing with Mike Munchak in charge?
Well, to be honest with you, the type of offense he envisioned running here and the type of offense that he preached about running here never really panned out. And I think that's another, you know, when you're looking for knocks against him, again, I'm not trying to put him down here because I do think he has some great qualities as a coach and certainly as a human being. But you know, he preached, you know, that he was going to establish the running game. And they were going to play a hard-nosed brand of football where they were going to establish an identity and win games in the trenches. And they went out and got Chance Warmack in the first round last year. They picked number 10. They went out and signed Andy Levitre, the top guard in free agency. They've got a running back who certainly been one of the most successful running backs in the league over the last 6 years. And they went out and got Sean Green in free agency. And paid him, you know, gave him a 3-year, $10 million contract, and they couldn't run the football. I mean, they got to the point where they were even, you know, thrown it sometimes in critical situations on 3rd and 1 and 4th and 1 because they couldn't run it. And Chris Johnson barely got to 1,000 yards. He averaged 3.9 yards a carry. You know, the offensive line, you know, underachieved, if you ask me. I know that's what Mike Munchak wants to do, is to establish a run game. But if he couldn't do it with what they had built here, it makes you wonder whether he could do it unless you've got, you know, some good personnel there in place. You know, the quarterback situation in his defense, you know, they were 3-1 with Jake Locker quarterback early and looked like they were on the right path. Locker goes down, and while he came back for a short stretch, he was never the same. So, it's hard to judge him completely because he was playing, wasn't playing with his quarterback. But certainly, I think he left here with more questions about whether he could be a head coach or not than certainly answers. I'll say that.
Which, for a team right now that is looking for a head coach that I think doesn't have that many question marks, certainly an interesting interview for the Cleveland Browns to be making here with Mike Munchak, given certainly what you're saying. We're speaking, of course, with Jim White from the Tennessean, who covered Munchak's Titans the last three seasons. You've kind of highlighted in some ways the negatives of Mike Munchak. What would be, if any, the overwhelming positives to making Mike Munchak your head coach, if there are any?
Well, I would say, and the interest there is interesting because, Mike Munchak and Peyton Manning have a really good relationship, and that's kind of stemmed from Peyton Manning visiting here in free agency, a couple of years ago. And Peyton Manning has been very complimentary of Mike Munchak, and certainly I think he believes in him as a leader of men. And obviously Peyton Manning and Jimmy Haslam, very good friends with their ties to the University of Tennessee. So I don't know how Mike Munchak got in the mix in Detroit, but certainly I can imagine, what I just spoke of, that being the scenario, how maybe things played out for him to getting an interview there. And I think he'll make a good presentation there about how he plans to do things and his vision for that football team. If they give an opportunity, I guess it remains to be seen whether that would play out. But I do think that Mike Munchak is certainly a great leader. And again, I talked about his no-nonsense approach. I mean, when he took over for Jeff Fisher in 2011, this team was a mess. I mean, they had a locker room was kind of dysfunctional. They didn't have a lot of discipline. They had all kinds of issues that they had to work their way through. And so Mike Munchak was put in a tough spot, and he guided that team to a 9-7 record, and they certainly repaired the locker room. I mean, it's a good locker room because the players respect Munchak and believe in him, and he's not going to take, a lot of shenanigans. I mean, he's definitely going to get professionals working underneath him. The big key would be if he could, his staff. I mean, he was hired late here in Tennessee in February of 2011. Had to really put together a coaching staff on the fly. Chris Palmer was one of his hires. That didn't work out. He fired him. He had to hire a lot of guys that he probably wouldn't have hired otherwise. The key for him would be what kind of staff he could bring with him there. And if he has good people underneath him, especially at the coordinator position, certainly, there's a chance he could be successful. Because I do think that as far as a figurehead and somebody at the top leading the football team, I do think he commands respect from his players, and players would play hard for him.
Jim, appreciate the time and short notice, but this is how this happens in this business, right? And maybe we'll be following up with you, my friend, but thank you.
Okay, no problem. You guys have a good day.
Thank you.
All right, CBD moves on. We gave you some background on Mike Munchak, and a guy who's covered him for his entire time as a head coach in the league the last 3 years would call him a risky pick. So take that for what you will, but we give you all sides of this thing. Mary Kay Cabot is coming up next from the Cleveland Plain Dealer, cleveland.com. She's been all over this coach search, so we want to hear her thoughts on a busy weekend, at least in terms of the news being out there. We'll
sure.
See what it all means, right?
Absolutely.
All right. More ahead, CBD. Girl, hand me another beer.